Chapter 42, Paul's Years in Ministry.
Paul was an unwearied worker. He traveled constantly from place to place, sometimes through inhospitable regions, sometimes on the water, through storm and tempest. He allowed nothing to hinder him from doing his work. He was the servant of God and must carry out his will. By word of mouth and by letter, he bore a message that ever since has brought help and strength to the Church of God, to us living at the close of this earth's history. The message that he bore speaks plainly of the dangers that will threaten the church, and of the false doctrines that the people of God will have to meet. From country to country, from city to city, Paul went, preaching of Christ and establishing churches. Wherever he could find a hearing, he labored to counterwork error and to turn the feet of men and women into the path of right. Those who, by his labors in any place, were led to accept Christ, he organized into a church. No matter how few in number they might be, this was done. And Paul did not forget the churches thus established. However small a church might be, it was the object of his care and interest. Paul's calling demanded of him service of varied kinds, working with his hands to earn his living, establishing churches, writing letters to the churches already established. Yet in the midst of these varied labors, he declared, "This one thing I do." Philippians 3, the 13th verse. One aim he kept steadfastly before him in all his work: to be faithful to Christ, who, when he was blaspheming his name and using every means in his power to make others blaspheme it, had revealed himself to Paul. The one great purpose of Paul's life was to serve and honor God, whose name had once filled him with contempt. His one desire was to win souls to the Savior. Jew and Gentile might oppose and persecute him, but nothing could turn him from his purpose. Writing to the Philippians, he describes his experience before and after his conversion. "If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh," he says, "I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Philippians 3, 4 through 6. After his conversion, his testimony was thus: "Yea, verily, and I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of mine own, even that which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Philippians 3, the 8th and the 9th verses. The righteousness that heretofore he had thought of so much worth was now worthless in his sight. The longing of his soul was that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, the 10th through the 14th verses. See him in the dungeon at Philippi, where, despite his pain-racked body, his song of praise breaks the silence of midnight. After the earthquake has opened the prison doors, his voice is again heard in words of cheer to the heathen jailer. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Every man in his place, restrained by the presence of one fellow prisoner. And the jailer, convicted of the reality of that faith which sustains Paul, inquires the way of salvation, and with his whole household unites with the persecuted band of Christ's disciples. See Paul at Athens before the council of the Areopagus as he meets science with science, logic with logic, and philosophy with philosophy. Mark how, with the tact born of divine love, he points to Jehovah as the unknown God, whom his hearers have ignorantly worshipped. And in words quoted from a poet of their own, he pictures him as a father whose children they are. Hear him in that age of caste, when the rights of man as man were wholly unrecognized, as he sets forth the great truth of human brotherhood, declaring that God hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Then he shows how, through all the dealings of God with man, run like a thread of gold his purposes of grace and mercy. He hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Hear him in the court of Festus, when King Agrippa, convicted of the truth of the gospel, explains, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. With what gentle courtesy does Paul, pointing to his own chain, make answer? I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether, such as I am, accept these bonds. Thus passed his life, as described in his own words, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. 2 Corinthians 11, the 26th and the 27th verses. Being reviled, he said, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. 1 Corinthians 4, the 12th and 13th verses, and 2 Corinthians 6, the 10th verse. Although he was a prisoner for a great length of time, yet the Lord carried forward his special work through him. His bonds were to be the means of spreading the knowledge of Christ and thus glorifying God. As he was sent from city to city for his trial, his testimony concerning Jesus and the interesting incidents of his own conversion were related before kings and governors that they should be left without excuse concerning Jesus. Thousands believed on him and rejoiced in his name. I saw that God's special purpose was fulfilled in the journey of Paul upon the sea. He designed that the ship's crew might thus witness the power of God through Paul, and that the heathen also might hear the name of Jesus, and that many might be converted through the teaching of Paul, and by witnessing the miracles he wrought. Kings and governors were charmed by his reasoning, and as with zeal and the power of the Holy Spirit, he preached Jesus and related the interesting events of his experience, conviction fastened upon them that Jesus was the Son of God.